Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Jo Emerson. She's the UK's leading confidence coach. She trained as a coach to help others find their power and live to their potential. She's the host of the popular podcasts Tell Me Who You Really Are and The No Filter Zone. Her new book, Be Confident, is designed to take you on a one-to-one coaching journey. It'll equip you to spend the rest of your life as a confident, self-assured person. Welcome to the show, Jo.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's so great to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you with us. So how does one become the UK's leading confidence coach?
Well, okay, in a nutshell, one has their own kind of crisis of life. 15 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I lost a friend to suicide and I left my marriage all in the same month. And I realized I needed to kind of do some deep thinking about how I was living my life. So I went to see a therapist and I just became fascinated by the process of change, psychological change, like so fascinating. I could feel I was changing. I could feel I was becoming more confident because I was living with a bit more truth. I think I'd just been such a people pleaser all of my life up until that point. And so I thought I'd quite like to do something like this as a job, and but I didn't want to be a psychotherapist. So I've discovered coaching and just thought this is amazing. And so I did my training and I did some more training, and then I just kind of went out there and started working, and people loved what I did. And then I won a big award, an international award for my work, and I had a book published, and then I got this second book deal. It's just gone nuts from there. And I continue to train, I continue to work on myself. And I just, how do you become the UK's leading confidence coach? I think you just keep working and you just keep showing up and doing really good work and helping people understand that their minds are what trips them up. We can all believe that it's the circumstances of our lives that are causing us to lack confidence. And by the way, I'm not saying that if you're living in a deeply traumatic situation or you're living in poverty that it's easy. I'm not saying that at all. But it's how we relate to these things and how we perceive ourselves that makes or breaks our lives ultimately. Mm. You know, I was talking to you just before we came on air, and I've just come back from training as a yoga teacher. Yoga is all about how we perceive ourselves, how we perceive the world. You know, and you can live in, you can, you know, you, I've been through some really difficult stuff in my life, but I've come to see that it's made me who I am. And, you know, I can't want the trauma from my childhood to not be there, because I wouldn't be who I am today and the coach I am today without it. So
yeah,
a lot of my work is about helping people to reframe how they see themselves. Because if you see yourself as a failure, you're going to just go through life failing. If you see yourself as someone who can achieve given the right mindset and the right support, you will go and achieve. So I became successful in this career because I had a crisis myself and decided to deal with it. That's the truth.
Yeah, amazing. And I think the subject of confidence is a really interesting one, because I think confidence is quite clearly a positive thing. It's good to be confident. But I think very close to confidence are words that we've been brought up on to be seen as negative. So you can get cockiness, which is not good. So people, I think, are worried about being too confident because they're coming across as cocky or arrogant or a show off, that kind of thing. You don't want to be seen to be singing your own praises too much, or to be saying, I'm great at this, I'm very good at doing this, because people go, oh, are you now? So I think sometimes we're a bit embarrassed to be confident because we don't want people to think we're being big-headed.
You know, you have nailed that. I can't tell you how wealthy I'd be if I had a pound for every time someone had said to me, but I don't want to come off as cocky, or I don't want to come off as arrogant. But here's the thing, right? Arrogance and low self-esteem are two sides of the same coin, in that both the arrogant person and the person with low self-esteem are worried about how other people perceive them. They see life as a competition. I need to be better than so-and-so, or so-and-so is better than me, right? When you have genuine confidence, you are not in competition with anyone else. You want everyone to feel as great as you feel about life. You celebrate other people's successes. You come at life with this warm, open heart. That's the sort of confidence I deal in. I do not trade in the cocky stuff. I can't be bothered with that. For me, it's all about showing up as who you really are and bringing your gifts to the world. I mean, maybe that's why I've been so successful, right? Because that is genuinely how I see confidence. I don't see it as this cocky thing. You know, and I can spot cockiness and arrogance at 20 paces. I was raised by a narcissist, right? So, I get all of that. But I also know that those people are deeply insecure.
Mm.
You know, if you're really cocky, you are actually deeply insecure. You're just hiding it behind, you know, very, very shiny masks. In the same way that, you know, if you're constantly seeking approval from other people, it's more obvious, but you're also deeply insecure. You know, a confident person, it's a self-approving state. You know, you can, and I'm not saying you don't need other people, but you kind of know you're okay yourself, you know, and you wrap decent people around you. So I hear that and I acknowledge it, but they're not the same thing.
No.
At all.
It's so true. And I think we can see the difference. We all know people who are cocky and arrogant, and we know people who are confident, and there absolutely is a difference. You want to be around confident people. Yeah, they are warm and it is very different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very different. Sorry, that was somebody trying to phone me. Sorry about that. It's very different. And, you know, the thing I always say to people is, you know, because I do courses on confidence as well as the one-to-one coaching. And I'll say, you know, how does a genuinely confident person leave you feeling? And what people will normally say is, oh, someone who's genuinely confident leaves me feeling at peace, leaves me feeling like I'm okay, leaves me feeling inspired as to what I might be able to achieve in the world. Okay, how does an arrogant person leave you feeling? Oh, they just wind me up. They make me feel like I'm less than them. How does a deeply insecure person leave you feeling? They wind me up because they just need to, you know, they're so needy. There you are. There it is, right? Mm. As a genuinely confident person today, by the way, I'm not 100% confident all of the time. That's another myth about confidence, right? It's this fluctuating state, but I always know how to return to it. But as a genuinely confident person today, you know, I want to leave people feeling really good about themselves. You know, I don't want anyone to feel worse about themselves having spent time with me.
No.
That would be, you know what I mean? That would be awful. And yet there are people out there who see life as a competition who would love the thought that someone might feel a bit lower, less than them, you know, as a result of spending time. So, you know, it's a very peaceful state for yourself, but also to leave other people in.
Mm. Have you found with various clients over the years that some people can be confident in certain scenarios, but not others? So some people are great in the boardroom, for example, and have no problem holding a meeting and the attention of their associates or colleagues, but then put them in a dating scenario, for example, and they completely fall to pieces, or vice versa, I guess.
Like 100%. We're all, so I would say that no one is 100% not confident, right? So everyone's got confidence in some area of their lives. And I remember clearly I had a client once who, she was really lacking in confidence. And because she'd left school, kind of married quite young, had three children and was like, you know, I'm not as good as everybody else because everyone else has got careers. And it's like, well, hold on a minute, you are, you know, talk to me about when your kids come home from school and they're really ratty. Well, oh, that's easy. I do this, I do that, I sort this out. They're probably hungry or they're tired. Okay, so you're a really confident mum. You're like, you've got all these skills that someone who's never had a child hasn't got. You are confident in how you are raising your children. And that was a massive game changer for this client because she was suddenly like, oh, a lot of confidence comes with experience. So it's not that I am worse than other people, or I couldn't do a corporate job, or I couldn't go and start my own business or whatever. It's that I haven't done it yet.
Hmm.
Does that make sense? In the same way, yes, I've actually had a client who's like, CEO of an enormous company, terrified of dating. And if you dig underneath the bonnet of that, he'd had a pretty tricky relationship with his mother and was just terrified of female rejection. He was a straight man, so he was dating women, terrified of female rejection. And so we did some work on like the limiting beliefs he had around women and how women saw him. And we were able to start detaching his generalized view of women from his specific experience that he had with his mother, who was a very overbearing, very critical woman. And he started to go on dates with more of a view of, I wonder what I can learn about myself and this person in the next hour, rather than I've got to make her like me. And so, you know, so yes, he was an absolutely brilliant, brilliant man corporately, but, you know, hadn't really had positive experiences with women. And so what this teaches us is a lot of the time our confidence comes from experience, but experiencing life or experiencing something new with an open mind and an open heart. So rather than thinking, I can't, it's like, no, I need to learn how. Mm. That's so different, right? And of course, what we all do as well is compare ourselves to other people, and comparison being the thief of joy. Like, why do we do it? You know, this woman I was just referring to, she was comparing herself to her friends in their early 30s who, you know, had these big careers or these building these big careers. And I'm like, but you're the CEO of your home.
Yeah.
You know, you've got three kids, a mortgage, a partner, like, you know, and she was able to start seeing what she'd achieved and build from there. And she actually started her own small copywriting business. And the last I heard a few years ago, you know, she had plenty of work and was still, you know, mothering her now teenage children. And, you know, by the time she's 40, she'll be out the other end. Her kids will have flown the nest. And then she's like, you know, she's got like 40 to 65 to go and have a whole other career.
Yeah.
So, again, it's that changing how you're seeing stuff. But yes, confidence is not most people, you don't cut them open and you find that they're confident in every aspect of life.
No.
It's normally that we've got, like, you're really confident, obviously, speaking. This is your job, right? You've got a beautiful voice. You're really, you know, wonderful. I bet if I put you in a spaceship and said, right, work this, you'd be like, I have no idea. I need some astronaut training. You know what I mean? So, you know, but it's the same. We just think we all should be able to do something. That awful word should. It's like, well, no, you do what you do. And when you, so again, going back to this training I've just done, you know, I haven't like sat intensively for a month and learned a whole new philosophy for a long time, you know, since I did probably my NLP training, which was, you know, a good 10 years ago. I've done bits and bobs of training, but nothing as intense. And, you know, for the first week I was thinking, God, I don't know if my brain can do this. I was also jet lagged. But you've just, I know what to do. I've just got to show up each day. And, you know, it gets easier and easier. And then you build this map in your mind of all the different parts, and they start to link and you're like, ah, okay, it's getting easier now. Mm. So
I find it sad to think that there are so many people out there that go through their lives and never do any inner work. You know, they don't read any self-help books. They won't go and see a coach. They won't go and see a psychotherapist. And they just live their lives being pretty miserable about various things. Oh, I can't find a partner, or I can't get a decent job, or I can't earn the money that I deserve, and just feel negative about stuff, but don't do anything about it. Because just having these conversations with people like you, or reading the book, will get people to go, oh, okay, so I obviously have an issue with this. And talking through it and finding a way through it can be absolutely life-changing. People are missing out if they're not doing this kind of stuff. Like,
oh, my God, you are literally, you are saying what I've been saying for years. In our British culture, we are very good at the stiff upper lip. We're getting better. You know, ITV talks about it's good to talk, or I can't remember what their slogan is. I haven't been away for a long time. But, you know, it's okay not to be okay and all the rest of it. But the fact that we've even got to say that to me is like, well, we've got a problem, guys, because of course it's okay not to be okay. We're like human beings with feelings, like, that fluctuate. But here's the thing. We all have our stuff. I don't know anyone who hasn't experienced some kind of trauma. I'm not talking necessarily capital T trauma, like the, you know, rape and war and car crash, but just those micro traumas throughout the day, you know, a bit of a rejection here, a bit of bullying at school, you know, maybe someone close to you died when, you know, at a significant time in your life. We have all struggled. What our fear does, our fear of these big emotions, what it does is tell us that we shouldn't talk about it. And our pride kicks in as well. I've got to show everyone I'm okay. And that is where we let ourselves down. Because, you know, what's so beautiful about being a coach and moving around in these circles that I've done for, you know, the last 15 years is I have people I can call. I've got a fair number of people I can call on any day and say, this is what is going on in my head right now. And they will listen compassionately and point out maybe the story I'm telling myself or allow me to cry or allow me to rant and then say, right, what are you going to do about this now? We meet each other with, again, that word, an open heart. And when people like me create podcasts or books or podcasts all around allowing people to be real and human, it gives everyone, other people, permission to do the same. That's why my podcast is called Tell Me Who You Really Are. Because, you know, let's drop the mask. Who are you? What's really going on? How can I help? How can I listen? Because that's how we change. So Carl Rogers, who was an amazing psychoanalyst, he said we can only change what we can accept. So while we're hiding behind these masks of I've got it all together and I'm going to post something perfect on Instagram so everyone thinks I've got it together, we're like almost re-traumatizing ourselves with the pretense. When we can tell another human being who we really are and say, this is actually, you know, I thought this thought or I felt this feeling or I've done this terrible thing, and someone can meet you with compassion and say, okay, how are we going to move through this? What have you learned? How can we do it differently next time? Do you need to make any reparations? Why are you feeling guilty for having a thought? Everyone has crazy thoughts. You know, all of those sorts of conversations, we free ourselves up.
Mm.
And, you know, psychotherapy is expensive. Coaching is expensive. But the NHS is getting better in terms of offering free CBT, which is, you know, amazing. There are apps you can use online. ChatGPT is actually a very good psychological friend. If people have no money, talk to ChatGPT.
Yeah.
You know, it, just deal with your stuff.
Yeah.
Because then you are free to give your gifts to the world. And that is what I'm all about. I'm like, let's stop hiding our light. Let's get it out there. Because you're right, there are so many people who are living unhappily in it, and it's really sad.
And I think it really helps when people read something or hear something on a podcast or an interview, somebody talking about something that they're going through or that they've experienced. So it's so easy for people to feel alone, even with something like grief, which we all know everybody has to go through in one way or another. If you hear someone else talking about something that you felt yourself, it really helps a little bit. It makes you go, oh, okay, I'm not going crazy. Other people have felt that. Or addiction is another thing, you know, feeling so low, thinking nobody else can be feeling this bad about themselves. And you go to an AA meeting and the room's full of people that are going through stuff like that. You know, these things, these communities, or just seeing people online going through the same thing as you makes a massive difference.
Huge. And it pulls you out of your isolation. It allows you to, it provides a mirror. You're like, oh, okay, this is what's going on for me. It gives you permission to be able to then feel those feelings. And if you are plugged into the right stuff online, there will be people like me. There are hundreds of people like me, thousands, who are then hopefully educating you into the next steps you need to take in order to process and move past you know, that stuff. You know, that's why when people like you ask me how I've, you know, become successful in my job, I'm like, well, it started with a crisis. You know, I like you know, my life blew up, you know, and I was, you know, I was not in a, you know, I'd, you know, what it was, certainly what happened in my marriage was the result of me making poor choices, you know, and I mean, they're not that poor because I've got three beautiful children from it. But, you know, my life is by no means perfect. I have never lived a perfect life. And I don't want anyone to ever think that I do, because that would just be weird. What I'm saying is that, you know, you can have your problems can be the making of you if you allow them to teach you what they're trying to teach you.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that this human experience is all about growth. I could be wrong. I'll find out, you know, when I'm dead. But it seems to me that it's about spiritual growth, emotional growth. It's about becoming more and more loving, because that's essentially what we are, right? You ask anyone on their deathbed what their regrets are. It's only about, I wish I'd spent more time with people. I wish I'd loved so-and-so. I wish I'd said sorry. It's not, oh, I wish I'd had a bigger house. Wish I'd lived in Monaco. And no one ever said that.
I played more video games.
Yeah, oh my God, I wish I'd spent more time on Instagram scrolling.
Or like, even material things. I wish I had more shoes. Nobody says that either.
No, it's all about. So, you know, that tells me that actually, you know, at our core, we're love, right? And actually, if you look into the quantum physics and the metaphysical studies, the arguments are that, you know, everything's vibrating on different levels, and love is the kind of primary kind of vibrational force that's creating everything that we can see and feel and touch and smell. That's about the limit of my knowledge on that. But, you know, when we think about it, you know, if I go back to what I was saying about confidence being this, you know, self-fulfilling state and this non-competitive state, well, then it actually, what we're saying is it's about love. Love yourself, then you can love other people. But that takes time. It's a bit like forgiveness, you know. I was talking to someone only a couple of weeks ago about forgiveness, and this young woman who was on the yoga training course with me saying she was struggling to forgive her father for something. And I was like, okay, but you don't just forgive like that. What you do is make a decision that you want to be free and you want them to be free. And then that becomes your destination and your intention. But it might take 20 years to reach forgiveness. It might take 20 days. It might take 20 hours. But the point is it's not that you can just suddenly let it go. It's that you set an intention to want to be free, and then you just keep walking towards that. It's the same with confidence. It doesn't happen overnight. We walk, unless of course you have a spiritual awakening, in which case, very lucky you. You have to just have to keep walking steadily towards these things and just take steps every day.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's how we grow. Pain has been my greatest teacher. Every time when I'm in emotional pain, I don't like it. I don't think, oh, good, I'm having some spiritual growth right now. All I want is for it to end. But I've done it enough time. I'm 54 now. I've done it enough times to know, right, that afterwards I'm like, oh, I've shed a load of crap. This is brilliant. You know, so, yeah, you know, when we run away from pain, I was just thinking only the other day about this word triggered. You know, you can't even turn on the news now without or go onto the news and say, warning, this article contains information that you might find triggering or upsetting. And I really get the intention with that. Like, I really get the intention with that. However, if we continue to avoid our triggers, we're never going to heal.
Yes, totally agree.
Never going to heal. We have to face this stuff. And if I can't read an article on something because it's going to re-traumatize me, I need to go and do some work on my PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's that bad, then go and do some work on PTSD, because we should all be able to, as emotionally healthy people, read something and think, oh, I don't like this. I can feel this is all churny in my body, but it's not happening to me now.
Yeah.
Right. So that word trigger, I'd quite like to write a book about triggering, actually, because I just think we've kind of gone too far to the point now where no one's allowed to upset anybody, and therefore no one's experiencing any emotional pain, therefore no one's growing.
Yeah, Oh, I totally agree. I think it happens all the time when watching a film or a TV show. You know, if you have had experience of grief and you're watching something when somebody dies, it's really sad. You know, it gets you. You remember what it was like losing your loved one. And yeah, sometimes you might need to pause the thing to have a bit of a cry and have a chat about it. Sometimes you can keep watching it and wipe your tears away and carry on. But either way, you know, it's healing. I can't imagine sort of going, right, no, stop, we're turning it off, can't watch this now, and stopping the whole process because it hurts. It's important to go through that. That's okay.
It's so important to feel those feelings and allow another layer of healing to occur.
Yeah.
Because every time we cry, we're actually releasing the emotion that's been stored in our bodies.
Mm.
This is what yoga's all about, as I've just recently learned. You know, we store so much emotional pain in our hips, in our shoulders, in our necks, in our glutes, in our stomachs. As women particularly, being told to hold our stomachs in all of our lives, so we're holding emotional pain there. So to have a good cry... It's releasing stuff.
Mm.
So, you know, people are afraid of their emotions. We're raising a generation of children who are afraid of their emotions. It's like, no, come on, feel it. Have, you know, find someone safe to be with while you feel it, and then allow it to release. And this is the other thing: is emotions last 90 seconds.
Wow, that's interesting.
90 seconds. So if you can feel like a big pain coming, say a wave of grief coming, I lost someone very close to me last year, so you know this is fairly fresh for me. If I can feel that wave of grief coming, I can resist it, but all that happens is it shoves it, so it comes down into my body and it will sit in my body. If I can think, I've got 90 seconds now to feel this, and in it comes and up it goes and it crests and it gets really, and you remember all those horrible things and how they looked when they were dead and the characters who were around at the time who were being quite unpleasant and all of that stuff, up it comes. And then just as it reaches its peak and you think, I don't like this, it starts to fade and it's gone. And then you think, I've released a bit more.
Mm. So powerful, so important.
So powerful, so important.
Yeah.
So as you can see, I'm on a bit of a mission to like...
I love it.
Yeah, heal stuff. And again, you know, this word confidence, you know, I have the confidence today to feel uncomfortable. I have the confidence today to be wrong. I have the confidence today to say no to people. I have the confidence today to walk away. I have the confidence to stand up and say, I've written a book. Why don't you read it? I have the confidence today to laugh at one of the reviews of my book on Amazon where someone was complaining about the questions at my book launch.
No!
Yeah, I was like, oh, like, I'm really glad you came to the book launch, but could you leave a review of the book, please? And like, maybe email me and launch if you didn't like the launch and how strange. You know, that's just someone's justice. That's how they feel. So they've written it down. That's fine, you know. But... You know, and I have the confidence to be able to laugh about that today and not think, oh my God, something's really wrong with me. It's like people are people. It does amuse me. But, you know, people are not on this earth to do what I want them to do.
Hmm.
You know, people are here to be who they are. That's clearly who they were on that day. You know, I had a lovely book launch. It's great.
It's a brilliant subject, and you've explained it extremely well. If people want to get a copy of Be Confident, your 100-day guide, then it's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Jo Emerson, who we've been chatting with today. Jo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.